We continue giving that to the Lord for just a little bit longer if we can. He's worthy. He's worthy of all that we could give. More than just a hand clap, why don't you lift your voice? Somebody can shout out, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Oh, my. What a great feeling is in the house of God this evening. It is rich in this house. God is never one to show up a day late or a dollar short. And I promise you that if you've come here this evening with just the smallest measure of faith, I promise you He can meet that measure, and He can take it and He can go so far beyond what Scripture says, beyond what you can imagine, beyond what you can think. He's that big of a God. And so, to all of this church family, thank you for your hospitality, the wonderful, wonderful room, and that gift basket. Whoever put that together, I don't know if you can make a living at that, but it might be worth a try, because you outdid yourself. Everything has been wonderful. I tell you what, you may be seated for just a moment. I don't want to be lengthy in any kind of preliminary statements tonight, but at the same time, there are a few things that are worth saying. I'm appreciative of this ministerial family. To the Baumeister family, the years of connection that we have had, not just amongst ourselves, but Apostolic Temple in Lake Charles as a whole, has been blessed on more than one occasion. First of all, by your pastor. Brother Baumeister has always been a man that has conducted himself with such sincerity in the Word of God, and the anointing speaks for itself. And our church has been enriched by that ministry. Brother Gavin Baumeister, I consider him my friend. He keeps me feeling young. Like Brother Baumeister said, I am young. By faith, I say it. And Brother Gavin has come on more than one occasion and has been such a tremendous blessing to our young people and the church family as a whole. You are a blessed congregation. I say that not just as platitudes, but you are a blessed people. Amen. Amen. And then to the ministry that is here seated upon this platform, I give honor to you all. Any one of them would be able to come to this pulpit, deliver what thus saith the Lord, and it be blessed and it be anointed of God. And so very often when you stand in scenarios such as this, as a man, you begin to take stock and take inventory of what you could bring and produce in a moment like this. And the answer is not very much. But I know a God that can do more with so little. And so, if you are a guest this evening, I promise you, you are in the right place. And it's not because any of us are here, but it's because Jesus is here. Amen, amen, amen. May I also say, it's good to have some home folks, or at least one folk, home folk, with me. Brother Isaiah East, traveling from Lake Charles to be here. I love him, and what a tremendous blessing and an asset he is to the kingdom of God, a critical part of our youth team there at Apostolic Temple, and the hand of the Lord has certainly been upon him. It scares me to say it, but I have known Brother Isaiah since he was born. That gets scarier every year, the older he gets. Maybe one of these days I'll get old enough that I'll forget that I've known him for that long. But, amen. Are you ready for the word of the Lord this evening? Are you ready to preach with the preacher just for a little bit? Why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. A favorite passage of Scripture. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. And we'll begin reading just one verse of Scripture, actually, at verse number 31. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse number 31, it says this: by faith, every one of you will say that with me, by faith, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. For the next handful of moments, and I do not intend to be long this evening. I didn't say it wouldn't happen. I just said I don't intend for it to happen. For the next little bit, let's preach together if we can on this subject: no longer a stranger. No longer a stranger. I believe that faith can do some powerful things. I've seen it work. I know that you have as well. We've been talking about it just a little bit tonight. I've seen faith work in extreme places. I have seen with my own eyes. I have seen those that walked into the house of God. I should say, not even walking, being brought into the house of God with a wheelchair. I've seen them leave without the wheelchair. I've seen it personally. I will never forget, I was just a young man. I was a teenager. And my pastor was preaching a crusade in Mexico City. We were in a large auditorium. There were thousands that had filled that place. And outside of the building, there was a large tent that had been set up where the children were having a children's service. Things were happening in that service. I will never forget that in the midst of that fiery, evangelistic, apostolic move of God, there was a strong wind that began to buffet that tent. One of those that you would see in something of a circus environment, a large metal support pole, a ring at the top of that pole wherein lines were going out and anchored into the ground. And I will never forget that strong wind was blowing. And in the midst of it, that tent began to collapse. There was a small 8-year-old girl that was situated at the base of that pole. And as it was coming over, it struck her. And there that little figure laid crumpled on the ground. She was not breathing. And I remember that her father scooped her up in his arms. She was not breathing. She was not conscious. And I can remember him running into the auditorium, not just asking, but pleading with the ministry on the platform, "Would you pray for my little girl? Would you pray for my little girl?" He was not somberly walking. He ran to the front of that building and placed that little limp, lifeless body on the platform. The preacher was still preaching, but the ministry gathered around. We began to lay hands on that little girl. I'll never forget it as long as I live. That as the name of Jesus began to be called, something took place in that little body, and she took her breath, sat up on the platform, and there that daddy scooped her up in his arms once again. But no longer was he pleading with the ministry to pray, but he began to dance across the front of that building saying, "Look what Jesus did for my little girl." Faith can work in some extreme places, and it can work in some extreme ways. I've seen it heal. I have felt it heal my own body. And I know that any number of us, I could bring this microphone down to you, and you could give your own story. Thank you, brother, for sharing it. Your own testimony of what God can do and what he has done already. Faith causes the church to do some miraculous things. in the sense that it works backwards, it works presently. But then there's something even greater that faith can do. It begins to reach into the future, and it begins to look at what God is going to do. My faith is not limited to what has been. It's not limited to what is right now. But I'm going to tell you, every now and then when faith begins to stir, there are things that I begin to look over into, recognizing that God is not done, recognizing that God is not limited, but that there are some greater miracles. There are some greater moves of God. There are greater healings. There are greater manifestations of His glory. There are greater moves of His power. There are greater moves of His deliverance. There are greater moves of His authority. I'm going to just preach a little bit and see if somebody can begin to connect with what God can do, what He's about to do. There are some things I can look over into, saying that God is able and God will by faith. If you believe it, clap your hands unto the Lord. God can heal this body. Oh, yes, He can. I'll never forget hearing the story. My grandfather, years ago, he was evangelizing. He was a young man, and he was preaching in an old country church where there was a little girl in that church that had a testimony. She had been born healthy, but at just a very tender and very young age, a babe in arms, if you will, there was a tumor that had grown on that little baby's face. It started small. Her mother brought her to the pastor every single church service. "Pastor, would you pray for my baby?" And they prayed. And that tumor would grow. That mama would bring her little baby to the front of the building. "Pastor, will you pray for my baby again?" And he would pray. And the church would pray. And that tumor would grow. It finally got to the point where that little girl had a tumor that was so great on her face that every time her heart would beat, that tumor would throb. It began to press into her facial structure to such a degree that her eyes began to cross. And all the while, that praying mama would bring her up to the front of the building, "Pastor, would you pray for my baby?" And they prayed, and they prayed, and yet that tumor was growing, and it looked very hopeless. They prayed on a service just like they had prayed all kinds of times before. Nothing happened there at the church, and that mama clasped her little baby and was still believing that God could heal. She went home that night, laid that baby in its crib, and there she went into that bedroom where she stayed, and she prayed again, and she prayed until finally she drifted off and prayed herself to sleep. But the report of that little baby was that at some point in that night, that mama was roused out of sleep, and she walked into the room, and she looked at that little baby lying in that crib. And there, that tumor had shriveled to where it was barely hanging on by a small little string of skin. And that mama watched as that baby, as she was sleeping, took her hand and just brushed that tumor away. And there it laid in the bed. And the same mother that had prayed all of those prayers looked at that tumor that was now separated from her baby's face and was able to say, "God heard every prayer." I'm going to tell you, there's not one sickness that my God can't heal. There's not one storm that my God can't calm. There's not one mountain that my God can't move. There is no limitation on my God. Every now and then, I've got to realize that the only limitation is what my faith would say God could do. do. I'm asking tonight that by the help of the Holy Ghost, we could begin to have a removal of the boundaries of faith. God, press against those borders of faith that have hemmed in what we believe God could do. But I must be honest with you tonight. I have felt in my spirit for so long. I don't say that braggadociously. Please understand, I'm just trying to come to you with sincerity this evening. I have felt for so long that there is a greater effort of faith that Pentecostals of Lodi have an opportunity to step into. And it's not just faith for healing. It is not just faith for deliverance. But I am wondering if there is somebody that you would be willing to let faith take you by the hand and begin to walk you to the precipice of eternity itself. And look over into that world of eternity where there is no more pain, and there is no more hurt, and there is no more wheelchair ramps, where there are no more waiting rooms, where there are no more handicapped parking spaces, where there are no more tears, where there is no more labor, where there is no more heartache, where there is no more disappointment. I'm wondering if there's anybody in this church tonight that you would be willing to look over into some eternal things and say, it's not just a dream, it's not just a pie in the sky kind of effort, but it is something that's real and I can go there. Yeah, right. Oh, I'm starting to feel a little move of the Holy Ghost already. Somebody, you have allowed faith for too long to be limited to only what you could see and only what you could feel in your body. There's more to faith than what you feel in the physical body. What about what you feel in the spirit? What about what you feel in your mind when God begins to stir it up? Can you see a world where there is salvation forevermore? Where there is only day, no more night? I'm going to tell you, you're a blessed people tonight. And it's not just because of the name on the church sign. And it's not just because of the carpet or the pulpit or the music. But every now and then, I've got to remind myself that God gave me something so wonderful when he filled me with the Holy Ghost. He didn't just give me healing for today. He gave me healing for eternity. I've got to remember, he didn't just give me joy for today. He gave me joy for an eternity. This isn't something that is temporary. What we enjoy on any given service, when the minister is preaching, and when the choir is singing, and when the musicians are playing, and when the church is worshiping, you know what all of this is? Scripture says it is merely the down payment. What you feel on any given service when all of a sudden you begin to get a little bit of dance in your feet and you begin to get a little bit of shout in your voice and you begin to start realizing God is good and he can do anything. I'm going to tell you, that's not just something that is the full extent. It's merely what God put down as a down payment. The earnest of our inheritance. There's more that's waiting for me over there than what I've got here. There's more waiting for me in those church services than what I've ever experienced here. But if I'm ever going to get across that finish line, if I am ever going to step into that land of eternal summer, then I'm going to have to realize I'm only going to get there by faith in what God put in me. At that moment that I first began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance, what began to take a hold of me when my granddaddy with those big old hands put me down in water, I've got to realize that that swung open a door that by faith, there is no trial that can shut it. There is no sickness that can slam that door. There is no heartache that can overcome the hope that I have. I got something real. And the scripture tells us of that lady named Rahab, not a Jew, not of the people of God, not of the lineage of Abraham, a Gentile, somebody that should have had no chance. And she was living in a world that was shaking under the knowledge of what was coming. I'm telling you, you could feel it in the air. It was palpable. That city of Jericho was looking around in fear and in anxiety, because the scripture says they knew that the land had already been given to Israel, that had been wandering in a desert wilderness for 40 years. But they had already crossed over the Red Sea. They had already conquered giants. They had crossed over Jordan. And the news kept coming out. I'm going to tell you, the Jericho Gazette, the headlines of it were rattling off every day. There's another miracle that Jehovah has done for his people. There's another miracle that Jehovah and his people are coming, and we are helpless. And that world was shaken, and that world was stirring. But somewhere in the midst of all of that shaking, that lady noticed that there were some strangers that had walked into Jericho that day. Spies, Israelites, the Hebrews. And what she did altered the course of not just her life, but her family. She got those two men by the hand, and she said, "Come into my house and stay with me just a little while. Stay with me." And there she began to tell them, "We already know that the land is given into your hand. We already know. It's a done deal. There's nothing we can do to reverse it. It's already happening. It's been predicted." Did you know that what happened in Jericho was predicted in prophecy by Moses himself? When he got across the Red Sea and he turned around with Israel and he began to sing a song, "The Lord hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he's thrown into the sea." Anybody remember that song? But at the end of that song, Moses began to look over into what was going to happen when they crossed over into Canaan's land. And they said that the princes of Canaan are going to have their hearts melt. And sure enough, it took 40 years for it to happen. But Israel was on the very threshold of walking into Jericho. And that lady told the spies that had come in, "We already knew that the land was given to you, and our hearts did melt." And so there are some things going on right now that I cannot reverse. But here's what I do want. I want you to give me a token. Give me something that whenever the world around me is shaking, that whenever things are turning upside down and leadership is turning to the right and to the left and governments are looking over their shoulder wondering what's going to happen, when economies start going up and down, stock markets start fluctuating, housing crisis, financial crisis, all kinds of crisis, give me something that I can keep not just in my heart but in my house. That whenever judgment starts walking through the land, I'm singing a different song than those around me. I'm giving a different kind of look. I'm not going to be looking at judgment. I'm going to be looking at salvation. I tell you, it's time for the church of the living God to start looking over into things that are not just present, but things that are coming, and realizing that when everyone else in my world is shaking their head and reading the news headlines with fear and with anxiety, there's something different about the child of God. It's not just that we've been healed. It's not just that we've been set free. But brother, we're looking over into heavenly things, realizing it's not much longer and I'm about to be out of this world. There's something that faith can do. It can take somebody that never should have had a chance. I don't deserve to be here, and neither do you. It's not because of any goodness of this vessel, but it's only because the mercy of God reached down at an altar when I was a six-year-old child. I didn't know what it was like to speak in tongues, but brother, from that day, I thank my God that I'm able at any moment to step into the glory of His Spirit and have a hope renewed in me that goes beyond what I find on a financial statement, beyond what's in a bank account, beyond what I find on the news headlines. Give me a token. Give me something to place my hope in. When judgment starts walking up to my house. And those two men said, we're going to do it. As they were let down through the window by that scarlet thread, that scarlet cord, those men looked up at that lady named Rahab and said, you make sure that this same cord is hanging outside your window whenever we come back. When we come back, it's not just enough that you had it in the window yesterday. It's not just enough that you had your token in your house 3 days ago. What is hanging in the window of your house on the day when we come back is going to make all of the difference. You're not going to have time to go get it out of the spare room and say, now it's time. No, 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 no. It's got to be present. It's got to be accounted for. It's got to be up to date. It's got to be current. It's got to be ready. And she said, I tell you what, don't just spare me. Oh, this is how far faith can go. Don't just spare me, but spare my father, spare my mother, spare my brethren, and spare my sisters. And those two men looked up at her and said, anybody that is in your house at that moment that judgment comes, we are going to keep them safe. And if we don't, then their blood be on our hands. I tell you, there is a God that loves everybody that is willing to step under the protective covering of His blood and of His Spirit. This church is not a country club. This church does not operate with bars on the doors, padlocks on the windows. No, sir, we are not an exclusive, frozen, chosen, or us four and no more. That's not how the church operates. But thank God, there's a hope that I have that anybody that I bring into the door is able to feel the covering of that same Spirit. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. But it's for whosoever will. There's something that faith can do in the darkest hour. Whenever everybody is looking for elections and looking at what's going to happen in the next 6 months. Let me tell you, let this world come and go, but give me Jesus. Let this world come and go, but give me a hope that is not founded on earthly things, but looks up into heavenly things, knowing I don't have much longer to go. Faith is able to look at the current circumstances and calls us all to perceive some things a little bit differently. You know what Paul said? Paul told the church, of the times and seasons, there is no need for me to write to you. You already know what's going on. You look at your world and it looks so upside down. I'm not shocked by any of it. Because Jesus looked at those disciples that had been asking him, what's it going to look like? What's it going to look like? And Jesus said, hey, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. You're going to hear about pestilence. You're going to hear about famine. You're going to hear about earthquakes in diverse places. Oh, it's coming. Look, don't be shocked when you see these things start to happen. It's supposed to happen. But Jesus gave the church an instruction at that point. He said that when you see these things begin to come to pass, not when it's already 6 months in store, not when it's already 10 years down the road, but when you begin to see these things come to pass, he said, look up. The word is stand up. Get yourself in a rapture posture when you start to see these things come to pass. Because when they begin to start coming and you stand up, your redemption draweth nigh. He said, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you in this kind of mess, but he said, watch ye therefore and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape these things. The word is literally, it is ekphugo, to fly out of these things. Anybody remember singing that old song? Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I remember growing up and hearing that song. The church doesn't sing it near as much as they used to. But brother, there's something real in those words. There's a hope that doesn't die, that doesn't wither. I'll never forget. Yeah. I'll never forget, I was sitting at a table. I was a whole lot younger. I was sitting at a table full of ministers. And if I name some of them, you would probably know them, so I'm not going to. And don't try to guess either. But there was one man that was sitting there. Like I said, you would know him if I called his name. And he said, I don't know where that song came from. I'll fly away. He said, I don't read anywhere where the church is going to fly. Those people were just crazy. And he wasn't joking either. He was being real. Being sincere. Sincerely wrong. And I was just a young man, and thank goodness that I held my tongue probably like I was supposed to. I was a good boy and didn't do what I felt like doing. But I said, sir, in here. Sir! What do you mean we're not going to fly? My Bible tells me, watch ye therefore and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to fly out of these things. Somebody, you need to get something down in your spirit that while you're looking at all the negative of this world, you start standing up just a little bit more, realizing it's just about time. I'm just about ready. I've just about got all things made, covered, and made new. I've just about got it there. And there will be a day, brother, there will be a moment. Scripture says, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, behold, I show you a mystery. A mysterion, the word is, something that has not been known up to this point. I'll tell you why I've got to have my faith in gear at that moment, because I've never been raptured before, brother. I've never been raptured before. I don't know what it feels like to have my feet start leaving the ground. I don't know what it feels like to have this body start changing. But what I do know is that the more that I'm in his presence, every now and then the Holy Ghost will start moving on me. And every now and then I get a little bit of taste of what that moment is going to feel like. Whenever I start losing control, when it's not about my agenda and it's not about my plan, every now and then I get a little feeling down in my spirit saying it's almost time. And I begin to dance and I begin to shout. Brother, let me tell you, if you believe that it's good to shout in church, I promise you, you'll be shouting on that day. Scripture tells me that if the same Spirit which dwelt in Christ dwell also in you, it's going to quicken, it's going to make alive your mortal body. Buddy, I've never been raptured before. I felt the Holy Ghost move on me and I lose control of time. I don't know if I'm dancing, shouting, standing still. I'm lost in the Spirit. If you shouted on that day when God filled you with the Holy Ghost, don't you believe you're going to be shouting on that day when you get enough Holy Ghost in you that it'll start changing this mortal body? If you ever danced in the Holy Ghost, don't you believe your feet are going to be feeling light whenever so much of the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you that it starts getting you out of this world? Oh, I'm about to tell you. Is this all right for just a little bit more? I promise I'm closer to being done than what you might think. But brothers and sisters, if we ever sit just a little while and we start feeling uncomfortable whenever things start getting a little intense in the spirit, and we sit and we say, well, that's good for them. Go ahead, let them have as much as they need. I'm good right here. I love being in church. Do you really? Do you really? Do you really love being in his spirit to the point of where you would begin to lose control of what you are and who you are? And you say, it's not my personality. What in the world did your personality ever have to do with you being filled with the Holy Ghost in the first place? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's not just liberty from addiction. It's not just liberty from all of the sin and filth of this world, but it is liberty from yourself, brother. I've seen the most quiet and the most shy kind of people, when the Holy Ghost hit them, begin to change into the most demonstrative, into the most mobile worshipers you've ever seen. It's real, buddy. And pity on me if I ever let myself limit what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all be asleep. We shall not all. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There was a church that was struggling with this idea. Paul had to write to them. He wrote to the Thessalonians and said, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. How real is this? Buddy, Paul thought he was the one that was going to see it. There's something innate in the Holy Ghost that causes you to look up. I don't care what age you've lived in. I don't care what town you've lived in. If there's an inkling of the Holy Ghost in you, then there's something that instinctively causes you to look up. We who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. I gotta hurry. I gotta hurry. That word is the word harpazo. It literally means snatched, stolen. We shall be stolen with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you say, and you ask, well, what are you saying? Do you believe in two comings of the Lord? No, I believe he's coming to earth only once. The first time, he's not coming all the way back. We're going to rise to meet him in the air. Pardon me if I get a little bit excited every now and then in the house of God. I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable. But buddy, I got enough joy to last me into eternity. We shall be snatched, stolen. I tell you, if it takes all three songs for you to get into the presence of God, I'm sorry. You're going to have trouble on that day, because it's going to happen quickly, suddenly. We are going to be snatched. I'll never forget hearing the old gray-headed preacher preach it this way, brother, that the Lord is going to come back on a day very much like today. That if you weren't looking for him today, you probably won't be looking for him on that day. If you didn't feel like you needed to pray on that day, on today, you probably won't feel like you need to pray on that day. But the opposite is true. If you've been looking for him, if every prayer that you've prayed has included the word, come quickly, Lord. Woo! I'm going to tell you, nobody in this world is going to be raptured by accident. Nobody is going to be surprised that they made it over the finish line. Why? Because the token that salvation gave me at the first time that I invited the stranger into my home. Buddy, he didn't leave a stranger. I knew him. I knew my Lord at that first moment that I ever allowed him to get a hold of my heart. And no longer can Jesus be perceived as a stranger. My God, let your spirit be so familiar that I've knelt in prayer enough times and I've worshiped in your presence enough that when I start to feel my feet leave the ground, all I have to do is lean back and say, devil, you can kiss my foot because I've made it in. Oh, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is here. But can I just give somebody a little bit of hope? There is no such thing as hopeless, and there is no such thing as helpless when it comes to the salvation of our God. Oh, Lord, help me for just a moment. It was not quite a year ago that I buried my grandmother and I presided over her memorial service. She was 100 years old, passed away at the age of 100. And for all of my life, I never knew that my grandmother had ever been filled with the Holy Ghost. Everything that I ever knew about her was somebody that was so bitter and so jaded against the church and against the ministry. wasn't until I was much older that I realized and I learned that my grandmother had received the Holy Ghost and had been baptized in Jesus' name as an 8-year-old child. I won't go into all of the story, but the roots of Pentecost go very deep in Louisiana. At the same time that Azusa Street revival, Houston, Texas outpourings of the Holy Ghost were happening, there was a simultaneous outpouring that was going on in a little town called Elton, Louisiana, just a little bit north of Lake Charles. And it sent out hundreds of preachers. And it was a place where the gospel fire was first kindled. It was in 1915 that there was a little community called Ragley, Louisiana, that invited one of the evangelists from that Elton revival to come and preach in their community. He was there for about a month. My great-great-grandfather allowed the tent of that revival to be set up on an acre of his property. And after a month's time, when 70 people had been filled with the Holy Ghost, he donated that land and allowed a permanent church facility to be built. And by most reckoning, by most histories that we read, it was the first permanent apostolic church building to be set up in the state of Louisiana. That was my great-great-grandfather that donated that land. The church building is still there. The church is still in existence. I never knew that, Brother Clem. Never heard it spoken of. All I ever heard was somebody that was so bitter against the church. When I was just 13 years old and I was feeling a call into the ministry, I went to my grandma and my grandpa and I told them, I'm feeling like God wants me to preach. It was open and I was sincere. Brother Isaiah, I've never shared this testimony at church. You've never heard this. My grandmother and my grandfather looked at me and said, if you will leave the church today and be willing to go to college over in another city, we will pay for everything. It hurt me so deeply. 2 years ago, when I was voted in as co-pastor of Apostolic Temple with Brother Rick Treese, I went to the nursing facility where she was living and being cared for. My dad was there with me, my wife. And my dad said to his mother, Mom, Jordan and John just got voted in as co-pastors of the church. She was in such a cognitive state that she couldn't remember what day of the week it was. But yet that bitterness was so deeply rooted that she shook her head and said, I hope you don't do that for the rest of your life. I'm gonna tell you, it hurt. It was about 3 months later. I'd been praying for my grandmother for years. God, refresh her in the Holy. It was about 3 months after that my dad received a phone call in the middle of the night from the nursing facility saying, Mr. Anderson, you need to come immediately. Your mother is exhibiting signs and symptoms of a stroke. It was in the middle of the night. He jumped out of bed. He ran out the door, busted through the front door of that facility saying, what's going on? And a nurse stopped him at the door and said, Mr. Anderson, if you will, just let me explain something very quickly. She said, you were told that your mother was having a stroke. They said that she was exhibiting symptoms. They said that because when they found her in her room, she was lying in her bed, babbling incoherently. But that nurse looked at my father and said, but Mr. Anderson, let me just tell you, when I was a little girl, I had a grandmother that used to speak in tongues when she prayed. She said she was not babbling incoherently. She said, but I have just been sitting with your mother for over an hour as she has spoken in tongues. A 100 years old, and as best as we could figure, had not spoken in other tongues in 92 years. Don't tell me that salvation can't come into your house. Don't tell me that God can't give you a sure token in the moment when you're needing a Savior in your world. Don't tell me it's not too late. Don't tell me that your family is too wayward. Don't tell me. Don't tell me that it's been too long since you've heard prayer coming out of your parents' bedroom. Don't tell me it's been too long since you've seen them dance at an altar. I wonder if there's anybody that has enough faith in the experience that God gave you that you would say, if you'll give me a little bit of time, save my father, save my mother, save my brethren, save my sisters, and I'll bring them into the place where the token of God's redemption is still at hand. Could I have some musicians come, please? Oh, I tell you, I feel hope in this house. It's not about what you experienced 10 years ago. It's not what you experienced 10 months ago. It's not what you experienced 10 days ago. What are you willing to talk to God about now? While salvation is so close, would you just watch it walk by, saying maybe another time? What if another time never comes? Let me tell you, judgment is about to walk through this earth, but there is still salvation that's walking up and down the halls of this world, up and down the aisles of this church. Salvation is still walking, and it's great enough to save you in this world, and it'll be great enough to carry you into the next. Preacher, what more do you want from me? I'm here, aren't I? Yes, you are, and so is Jesus. What would you allow Jesus to give you on the very eve of his coming? You know what the writer of Hebrews says? He said, we are not among those that step back into destruction, but we are those that believe. How far? To the saving of the soul. You say, yeah, that happened when I was a child. Is that the last time that it's happened? Friend, I would not gamble my eternity on something that happened in the past. What about something that could happen tonight? Could we stand all across the building? If the trumpet began to sound in the next 30 seconds, would you hear it? Would you feel the reverberation of the shout coursing through your spirit that would cause you to say, I'm ready? Would you wait and say, no, Lord, give me another service. Give me another time. I wonder if there's anybody that is ready right now, or you want to be ready tonight. You know what rapture is going to be? More than anything, it's going to be a hearing test. Can you hear the sound of heavenly glory reaching down into this world to take out a bride? John, as he was closing out his vision, he gave these words, the Spirit and the Bride. there's something that happens in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit is saying, I want to come. And the bride, the church, responds to the call saying, come. The Holy Ghost will press on you in prayer. When was the last time? I promise you I'm closing. But when was the last time that your prayer was lifted off of the next promotion at your job or the next pay raise? When was the last time that your prayer was lifted off of the doctor's report or the insurance report, and you started kneeling before God and saying, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Somebody, it's time for salvation to no longer be a stranger in your house, but a familiar figure. Every hand lifted up to heaven right now. I wonder if somebody would begin to yield to the Holy Ghost. It's been a long time since you started thinking about heavenly things. It's been a long time since you started lifting up your eyes to things that were higher. Jesus said, behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not true, I would have told you. Somebody, if you're wanting to make your call and election sure, there already are some that have come down to the front. I wonder if there's anybody else that would want to join with those that are hungry for a move of the Holy Ghost, saying, God, change me enough that I could step over the threshold of glory tonight if you would call on me. Your Spirit move right now, Lord. My God, laying aside every weight, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I've just about got it made, Lord, and I don't plan on stumbling in the last step. I'm not stumbling now, Lord. I'm standing with my feet firm, and I'm looking up, and I'm looking for you.
His power in the name of Jesus.
Oh, sing that right now. There is power.
Power.